You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney.
This sounds good.
Welcome to episode 22, Scripts to Help You Win. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. Thanks for joining me this week. This is a really exciting topic for me. This is one I actually enjoy a lot. It's amazing to me to watch agents fail epically and to see and listen and hear them say the things that they say. It's flooring to think that somebody answers somebody after they call in, they spend all the money on getting a lead, the person calls in and they answer with a one-word answer, such as no. So let's talk about how you can win more by taking those existing lead calls and turning them into clients. Clients that are going to be there with you for the future. Not just talking on leads and just saying, these leads are junk. These leads are junk. I don't know what's going on with these leads. I'm not sure. Every lead you send me, it seems like the other person just gets lucky. How often do you hear this in your office? Somebody else calls the other agent lucky. And then you sit there and you look at things like, for myself, you know, we buy leads through Zillow and some other sources that actually do audio recording. So when I go back and listen to it, it's always, to me, it's not luck. I hear the difference. I hear the things that are being said. I hear the things that aren't being said. And one of the things that you get to hear is you get to, when you're not actually physically talking with the client that's on the phone, you're actually listening and hearing their voice and the mannerisms in their voice change. So it's amazing to listen to. Let's talk about one of the first ones. It's what goes on a lot when you're dealing with internet-based leads, whether you're running ads, you're paying through Zillow, you're buying through Realtor, you're buying through a website company, RealGeeks, any of the others. The first question that's most common when someone calls in, they say, are you the list agent? This question is a funny one because in the state of Massachusetts, we have the agency disclosure form, and it's almost like the person asked you to describe the agency disclosure form in this question. Are you the list agent? That question right there, it's like, okay, no, I'm not. But guess what? The good news is you have the right to representation. And have you ever heard of what a buyer's agent is? Quite often the person will say no, or I don't have any money to pay a buyer's agent. You go, well, that's actually where the best news is. The buyer's agent is paid by the seller's agent, and all of our compensations are listed through our MLS system. The fortunate part for you is by working with me, I look out for your best interests. If you were to talk to the list agent, the person on the sign, they actually work for the seller in their best interest, and their job is to get that seller the most money in the best terms possible. Does that sound like it'd be something you want, or do you think you would like to work with someone as a buyer's agent who has your best interests in mind and is trying to get you the house as low price as possible and for the best terms for you? So this question, are you the list agent, and the simple answer, no. Well, when you answer just no, guess what they do? They hang up and try to get a hold of that list agent. And quite commonly, that's who they're looking for. But that's where we take the fact that we're a knowledgeable agent and we teach them the fact that you don't want to talk to that list agent. They have a fiduciary agreement with their client. So why not just answer more correctly of asking them, do you understand what a buyer's agent is? Do you understand that you have the right to representation? Do you understand that the list agent works for the other person? Do you understand that I would work for you? And turn that into the educational process. And then at the end, you can say, and even better yet, I have access to any and all properties listed online. So anything you see, I can get you more information on. And you no longer have to go to these sites like Zillow or Trulia or any of these. You can directly text me to my cell phone number, which is, and you tell them your cell phone number. And from now on, you never have to have questions. And the other great part is I can sign you up for exclusive listings. I can email you them every single day, multiple times a day. And the good part about the listings I send over is they're actually online and actually for sale. They're not just pre-foreclosures and other things like sites like Zillow do to use you for clickbait. And then you can go over the fact that they actually were sold as a lead and the fact that you're there and you're going to help them now and you're on their team. And if you're like myself and you're a best Zillow agent, you can also explain why the consumers have rated you a number one agent and that it makes sense to work with you. So I hope that one helps with that. Is this your listing? Are you the list agent? Do you know the list agent? That any of those questions above, you can run down any one of these scenarios where you tell them about the fact that you're professional. You can offer them your emails. You can send up with them that you're actually going to get out and show a listing and everything. These are big, big things. Next one. Is this home available? This one here is commonly mistaken. Immediately to answer no. And then to just have a pause. I don't want you to answer no to that one anymore. I want you to answer, let me check. And when you go and you take, whether it be a few moments right then to check, or you take a few moments and you're going to get back to them and check, you're going to go and you're going to look up other homes that are available within that same area, within that same category, maybe the same bedrooms, same price range, all that. And you're going to get back to them and say, unfortunately, the home that you were looking at is unavailable. But the great thing is, working as a buyer's agent, I have exposure to the entire marketplace. And while I was looking, I actually noticed there were three other homes available in that town. Do you think you'd like to go out and take a look at them? When do you think you have some availability? I really think that you should look at and then name one out of those three and say, the reason I think it is, and take a reason. I'm sure there'll be one that's more preferential to others. And I don't think that this home's going to be around for long. And I noticed that there's a lack of inventory within that marketplace. So I think that it'd be best that we set up a time to look at it within the next 24 to 48 hours. You always want, when you have a buyer on the phone, to meet with them within 48 hours. Some agencies practice bringing them into the office to meet. I personally like to get them out to a home to meet, to start the relationship, and then to take them into the office. Either way, whether you're bringing them to the office, going and meeting them for coffee, or you're meeting them at a house, the number one thing you want to do right away is build that relationship. You want to get in front of them, you want to spend time with them, and you want to prove that you are an industry professional. And don't forget, when you're meeting somebody for the first time, you're going to be judged. And I've heard all different valuations on time, but the reality is Harvard Business Study did a study on this, and within 5 seconds they judge you. So you better be wearing your best outfit. You better be dressed well. You're going to be talking. You better know your knowledge. Study the market. We have a new age. We're not back in the day where we protected the MLS sheets that were printed out. We have the internet. We have Zillow. We have Trulia. We have all these others. Make sure you know more than the client. Make sure you bring in some sort of sidecar knowledge where you can pull some value for yourself and say, hey, did you notice this one that sold the other day? Maybe have a printout. Then they can see, okay, this guy really, or this woman really knows the marketplace locally. And then after the showing or after the meeting, when you follow back up with them over the next couple of days, continue to drip more homes on them, whether they're sold, under agreements, new to the market, and try to do it as fast as possible and do it in a mixed media variation. Don't just send them listings from the MLS. Send them a phone screenshot. Take a picture of your computer with your phone and text it over to them. Make it seem like it's an immediate rush, like this one just came on. This is brand new. Send it over and try to beat out the Zillows and Trulias and Redfins to send in something. Or you could always allude to that exclusive listing where you know something coming on the market which has the most value of anything. But just remember, when someone calls for a listing and if the answer is no, that it's not there, do not just kill the conversation. Don't say, when they say, is this listing available? No, and then leave a pause for them to say something. Take advantage of the situation and make it to the next level with the person. Let's talk about another situation that's a common killer people dead-end conversation with. What is my home value? So you go out there, you want to show the person the CMA, you want to review all the information with them. Do not give them the printouts. Do not let them hold the sheets. Do not give them a binder. Do not let them have anything in front of them. You're going to hold it all, and you're going to hand it to them one sheet at a time. And as you hand it to them one sheet at a time, you're going to go over the information. Do not just throw out a value. Every time they ask you what the value of the home is, bounce it back on them of what they think. It may take one time. It may take two times. It may take 3 to 5 times. But eventually, you're going to get a value out of them. Do not allow them to know the value until you've showed them all the material. Then if they have a valuation that's questionable to you, don't tell them no. What you want to do is you want to talk it through with them. You say, wow, that's interesting. I like that. I like the idea of that. That sounds like a very good value. If you could just let me know what the comparables that you chose to come up with that value, I'd love to know. And then you can even do what I do a lot of times, which is take the self-blame and say, geez, I really want to know where you got the comparables, because I just put a house on the market the other day and I'm wondering if I underpriced it. So I really think it's helpful that you just share that information with me. And you're going to watch them backpedal, because they're going to say, oh, geez, I just invented this price and this guy, I don't know what to say. When you do this, you're going to allow them to erode their own price. When they say 500 and it's really 450 and you just stone face them and say, no way is this place worth 500. You just killed it. But when you allow them to deconstruct what they've just said, to build up, how did I come up with that value? This person sitting in front of me does have comps. They do work in this industry. They do list other homes. They are selling property. How am I going to show them that value it's perfectly fine. And sometimes maybe they do come up with some other comps that you didn't see. But the reality is when you tell them no to their price, they're looking for a yes man. They're looking for somebody who's just going to tell them yes, possibly even what they do, what they call buy the listing, which is where you just accept the price and just put it up. But they're looking for that yes. But when you take a person, you allow them the yes, and then you talk about how they reach that valuation and allowing them to deconstruct their own thoughts, they will then realize either I'm a liar or I need to change my price. Which you didn't say they were a liar. You didn't say, no, we can't. You told them, I would love to, and I also want to know how you got to that value. So again, you're just building up them and the fact that you love their home. You want to sell their home for them. You want to get them the most money possible. You're working as a fiduciary for them, and you just want the info. So I hope that one helps you a lot when it comes to the valuation. First time visit on a CMA, a lot of times they want to talk value with you. You haven't done your comps yet. Just allow them to tell you how they went to value and just continue to tell them, I need to do my homework. I'd love to just throw numbers out, but I hate to throw a low ball out or throw a high ball out and mess with your mind. I really want to come in accurately. Why don't you share with me what you think? It'll help me with my research in the future. So now that we've talked a couple different ones there, let's talk about the most common one when it comes to setting appointments. We set an appointment and we say, let's talk on Monday. Well, let's visit for the CMA on next Friday. What do most agents do between here and there? The truth is they don't do shit. They don't ever reach out to the person and they just wait for that meeting on Monday. What I want you to do is put at least 3 to 5 contact points between there and there. So if you're working with buyers, one of the things you can do is send other listings to them. You can send them a text message with a picture message from a computer screenshot and say, have you seen this one yet? You can send them over a buyer's guide. You can call them again and ask, hey, you know, when we're talking earlier, you said 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. Do you think they'd like a big yard or a small yard? You can pretend as though you forgot an extra question just to reach out to them. And what this is going to do to them is it's going to tell them that you're working on their property and you're working on the search. Well, everyone else they ever talked with just literally waited until the day they met with them. So this is going to keep you front of mind the whole time. It's going to keep them occupied. And if they found any properties in between here and there that they want to get out and see, well, they have the opportunity and they have you on the phone, they're going to take that time to set up another appointment with you. And you can even ask that question on the way off the phone. Of, hey, you know, we were set to see 435 Main Street. I was wondering if you had seen anything else in the meantime that you wanted to see, because I have a little bit of an opening after that one and I'd love to get and make the best of this day and just see a couple more. And the same thing goes on the opposite side. So you're going to have a CMA, you're meeting with them. One of the things you want to do is prep them for the CMA. So you're going to reach out to them and say, I'm going to send you my home seller's package. Maybe it's some brochures, maybe it's some questions and everything. Send them over the information standard mail so that they get something hard. And then you're going to call them and follow up and say, did you get that? Did you have anything in that guide that you wanted to go over between here and there? I'm really excited. Or you call them up and ask them, hey, did you see the comp over at 745 Main? Do you think that's like your house? Oh, you haven't? Let me just shoot that over to you and just find out if what your thoughts on that are. How's your kitchen compared to the kitchen over there? It seems like, I mean, from what you talk, you sound like a cook. I noticed in the talk that, you know, you were cooking for your family party coming up. And I just... And I was wondering, I'm just really trying to get this price as accurate as we possibly can. When you do these types of actions, you're going to lead them to believe that you're constantly working on their home and it's really going to excite them. You can also have them talk with an admin or another person in your office where you send them a bunch of links on how to price a home. You could, if you have a blog or you have a podcast, you could send them episodes to that. But don't just send them blankly. Send them with the expectations that sort of it's almost like you don't want to say it, but it's homework. You want that person engaged. You want them totally engaged with you. And you're going to find that these people are going to be way more primed and prepped for your meeting, whether it be buyers or sellers for that CMA meeting or that buyer for the home showing. They're really going to know this person is really engaged. Now, I'm sure a lot of agents are going, well, where am I going to find all this time? Well, I'm going to tell you, cut the bullshit out of your schedule. Stop worrying about things that don't exist. Stop worrying about what you aren't doing and start worrying about lead conversion and start worrying about things that matter as far as getting more clients. The sale is going to happen. You get a buyer, you get them in a contract, you get a seller, you get them in a contract, the sale is going to happen. I'm not saying don't work the sale, but I'm saying don't sweat the small stuff and chase after driving PNSs around instead of emailing them in Dotloop. And don't be chasing checks because you're trying to chase after checks. Send an online confirmation with the other agent that the check is coming over and get a digital copy. Don't be driving from place to place to open doors to accompany showings. This is silly. Why are you going to spend that much time accompanying a showing? Do you realize by accompanying a showing that you're actually intimidating the buyer from buying the home? Explain to yourselves, I don't belong there. Take the time to do the lead conversion. So now let's talk about some other ones that are some really, really big ones. What's the price of this listing? Now, this is another one where I want you to kind of stutter step just for a few minutes and try to get out of them what price are they looking to spend so that you can bounce some bounce offs off them. Because if you go and you just say, oh, the price for that listing is $450, all right, bye, thanks, bye. So you want to go back to the, what are you looking for? How many bedrooms are you looking for? How many baths? What type of price range do you have available? Because once you do this, now you can say again, I work as a buyer's agent. I can get you any and every home. The biggest mistake made by listing agents is, and I know the clients are going to hate to hear this one, but just trying to sell their clients' listings, only trying to sell the listing they have. It's like when someone goes to a store and they say, I want pizza, and the person says, I got spaghetti. The person's not going to buy spaghetti off you. They're going to go to whoever sells pizza. They're going to go to what they wanted. So stop thinking that you're going to convert some buyer from, you know, he wants a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, but I got this 2-bedroom, 3-bath, and, you know, they just need to finish the basement or something silly. Stop with that. You can sell any listing in the industry, so chase after what they want. But again, when they say these simple questions, don't dead-end the conversation with a simple, the price is type of scenario. So let's talk about some of the most common forms of contact. We got email, text, and phone calls. So I want to talk about what I consider a dead-end conversation or a waiting game conversation or a please call conversation. So the biggest mistake ever made, we get a new lead and we send an email to the person. Hey, I got your contact info. I'm available 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and I'm willing to work anything. I can show you any house. Just get back to me when you're ready. No. I want you to think smart, think value, think something that they want from you. What did they originally call for? They called for a listing. You want to say in that email, hey, I had a really exciting listing that I wanted to go over with you. What time is best to talk, 4 or 5? If I don't hear from you by 5, I'll give you a shout on the phone. I look forward to chatting. Because by doing this, we're saying, if you don't answer, I'm going to answer. But we're giving ourselves the right to answer. Because when we send an email that says, please reach out to me, it'd be rude of us to continue to hound them because we've already given them the right to reach out to us, so we're in the waiting phase. Don't put yourself in the waiting phase. Same thing with a text. Sometimes you use a text where you say, hey, please reach out to me when you have convenient time. That's like leaving the whole thing to the client. Like, look, please just reach out. I hope you talk to me. It's like, no, hey, I have some really exciting news. I think you'll want to hear this. What time's good for a call? Or maybe even better yet, hey, I have some really exciting news. I'm going to call you in 15 minutes. Prep the call. Prep the call ahead of time. You call them, they don't answer, double dial. Call them once, call them twice. Don't leave a voicemail on the first one. Guess what they think? It's an emergency. I need to talk with this person. Now you got them on the phone. These are ways that we can do things. One of the things that I teach here at my office at Movementum Realty is a lot of times to use a mix of the three. So we've got the email, we've got the phone call, we've got the text. And I'll leave a voicemail like, hey, I'm sorry I haven't got a hold of you over the past couple of days. I've tried calling a few times. I must be using the wrong form of communication. I'm going to text you later on tonight. And then when I text them, I'll eventually say, you know, I don't seem to be able to communicate with you. The text and the phone call's not working. So I think it's best we chat through email. But what I'm doing is I'm telling them that there is only one way this conversation is going to end, that you're going to answer my call and you're going to say yes or no. And I know that, again, agents are like, wait, why would I want to know? You want a yes or no. You want a reason to stop or you want a reason to proceed, but you don't ever drop a lead. You don't just decide because they haven't got back to me. I guess I just quit. No, not until you've been working that lead for 2 years. Maybe working that lead for 2 years in a less aggressive form, but you want to keep putting it back into your drip. You want to get it into maybe an email loop. And I'm not talking bullshit emails that look like postcards that you just throw in the trash barrel that say, we're the best real estate brokerage under the sun and things like that. I'm talking really, really thought out, planned out, very basic level emails. And again, thought out, planned out, very basic. That's kind of a weird comment. What I mean by it is you want it to look like you wrote it to that person so that when they open it, it's a normal length, maybe anywhere from, say, three sentences to seven sentences that just say the facts, that just say you have value, and just say you need to reach out to me, reaching out to them in a phase where you know this is what they were looking for, and if I send this out, they're going to reach back out to me. The most important thing to remember out of this little section here is just that do not send out dead ends. Do not send out please reach out to me's. Do not send out I'll look to hear from you's. Let's get away from that. Let's get into the phase of I'm going to reach out to you another way. Let's get into the phase of you need to hear what I have here to offer. You need to not be the guy saying this will not last all the time, but having that pertinent information to what people want is a very important thing. So when you do get them on the phone, and I'm just going to really quickly talk this one through, but when you get them on the phone, you want to think, you know, this is something my dad taught me, and he's been a really good salesperson. He's actually top car sales. But anyways, so he's always taught me, you have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. Use them accordingly. And what does it mean by that? It means that look and listen more than you talk. As a salesperson, you're constantly trying to sell them, and it's the dumbest thing ever. They're going to tell you everything they need. They're going to show you what they want, but you're not going to create a need by talking and talking and talking. And a great example of this that they use in the car world, right? You get a phone call lead. The person wants to look at cars, and you know you're there, and you're like reading everything off script, and you're just like, and it has power windows, and it has air conditioning, and all this stuff. And little did you know, because you did not listen to that consumer, they were mailing the car up to Alaska, and they thought it was a good value, and they could give less of a shit about AC. And they said, you know what, actually, AC usually costs about $1,500. I'm going to find a unit that doesn't have power windows and AC. But because you didn't listen to the consumer and what they needed, and you thought, oh my God, I'm just going to offer them all this value by just slamming them. This house has everything. Huge yard. Do you know what huge yard means in some people's terms? A lot to mow. Or a big cost. You know, don't get into selling details people haven't told you they want. Listen to the details they want, build the dream they want, and every house could fit the equation that's within reason of what they want. Stop trying to be a salesman and start aligning people. Realize in the world of real estate, we're basically a dating agency connecting one person with another person that works, but instead of another person, it's one person with a property that works. Listen to your client's needs. Be willing to listen to their ups and downs of life. Be willing to be the shoulder to lean on or the person to be excited with and be there for them. I guarantee you'll sell more real estate. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. I really appreciate it. Make sure to follow it. If you're not already, be sure to join our group on real estate. Engage over there. Invite people. I look forward to talking with you all next week. Thank you so much for listening to the show and have a great week.